that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel's
gonna roll around once more.
When it does.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. It's a brisk morning, but it's a little warmer than yesterday. It is Saturday, November 23rd. I think Kyle said, what, it was about 15 degrees
this morning? It was 15 coming through town, but like I said, that's 16 degrees warmer than yesterday morning was. So
yeah, it was cold
minus
yesterday.
Minus one.
Cold yesterday, so we're in a heat wave today. It's up to 15. But we welcome you to Coffee with the Wranglers, and we'll say good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And John's been up all night, so we're going to give him the morning off. You'll get to see him tomorrow morning if you come to church with us at the LaPorte Church of Christ, so we encourage you to do that. But we're going to open up with prayer, and then where we go from there is anybody's guess. So, Kyle, you want to open us up?
Sure. Oh, God, my Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this opportunity to gather in your name, the blessed holy name of Jesus Christ, Lord. And we ask you to be with us. Send your Holy Spirit down upon us today, this morning, with our thoughts and our words. And let us be edifying whatever we have to say, Lord, to the body out there. We ask you to be with all the remnant, all those that are listening, all those that will call in, all those that are yours, Lord, out there. And we do pray, Lord, that we can be at peace with all men. It's getting to that point, Lord, where it's getting tough. We ask you to be with us, watch over us, guide and protect us. Be with our hands, Lord, that we do good works, works of righteousness, whatever those works might end up being. Lord, we know we are not supposed to trust in our bow and our sword, but we know the man that said it, King David, had a bow and sword, Lord. And we do ask that you guide and direct our thoughts, our words, our actions as we go on through these days. Be with all of us, all the remnant, all of our families. Watch over them, guide and protect them. especially the women and children, Lord. So there's so much evil in this world. We ask all this in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And you know, we'll just have an open phone line day today. I know sometimes we get a lot of callers, sometimes we don't, but we'll open up the phone lines early if you want to call in. We've got some things to talk about, and we'll probably have time to get to them. But if you do want to call in, 307-745-5913 is the call-in number. And Jason, didn't know if you had anything you wanted to start with down there, or I see Kyle's got his Bible open, but didn't know
well,
if you had
Kyle, something go ahead and start.
Well, the reason why I prayed that way is because I just got done reading 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4, where it says, "First of all, then I urge the entreaties and prayers, petitions, and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. That is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." Well, I guess it's just 1 through 3. And we are supposed to do that. We're supposed to pray for kings and all those in authority so we can live a peaceable and quiet and dignity life. But there comes a point where they don't let you live a quiet and peaceable life. And then we have to take whatever steps God has us take next.
This very thing was taken to King George in 1775.
I did not know that.
It was. I remember that. I don't remember exactly where, what history book I read it in. Maybe it's The Light and the Glory. But I remember that this verse was taken to them for that very reason. You know, that, hey, we're praying for you, but our desire is to lead a peaceful and tranquil life. And your actions are making that impossible.
Yeah.
You know, and the king, one thing that they realized then, the king had to obey this as much as anybody else. And it applied to him as much as anybody else. And doesn't it seem like we've come full circle?
Yeah.
You know, we do desire to live at peace with all men as much as possible.
That's how we want to live.
That's how we want to live.
We don't want to have to lock our cars when we go in a store.
No.
We don't want to have to lock our homes. And why should we have to do that? Because they didn't used to do that. When I was a boy, I never had to worry about my home being locked when I got home from playing with the neighbor kids.
Mm-hmm.
Never once, ever, whether my mom and dad was home or not.
Yeah.
But it's got to the point to where there isn't a whole lot of peace in this land. Our only peace is through Jesus Christ. Our peace, as far as the world goes, there is none. You have to watch your children that they don't get kidnapped. There's constantly something going on. Go ahead, Jason.
Well, is what you got to have that is you got to have morally sound people. You got to have people with integrity.
Yeah.
You got to have people with morals. You got to have people with a conscience. And you don't see a whole lot of that anymore.
And those are good points to be praying when we pray for our kings and those that are in authorities. Those are great things that we should be praying for. You know, unfortunately, they don't have that.
No. Well, guys, the phone's ringing
already.
A little early today, so let me make a note here. Well, I want to come back to what you said there, Jason, and we'll go to the phone lines. Hey, good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Just a real brief little bit of trivia. I go to be watching this Jeopardy program, this quiz program on television, you know. And the other night they had a question. It turns out that the original Main Street USA at Disneyland was inspired by Fort Collins, Colorado.
Yep.
Did you guys know that?
Wow.
Yeah, it was. And actually, they have several. That whole layout was based on the original layout of Fort Collins, Colorado.
Is that the old town, Jason, where college runs through all the old town down there with the trees in the middle and all that? You know, I worked at Disney World in Orlando for about a year after high school, and never thought about that. But thinking back, it is very similar to that. How about that?
Yeah, I've often heard you guys talk about Fort Collins, so when I heard that, I thought I didn't know whether you guys would know that, but I thought you might enjoy that.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
All right, well, thanks.
All right, thank you.
One of the main differences is at Disneyland, they send cleaners in there every night and they clean up the walkways. They don't do that in Fort Collins.
No, not at all. You know, Jason, you made a very applicable point, was that you need a moral people to have it where you don't have to lock your doors and to where you don't have to look after your children. I was listening to a sermon by the pastor from 2008 just the other day, and he made a comment on that. He said, you know, earlier we're looking and all of a sudden the two of our children, we just can't put our hands on them right there in between Sunday school and church. And we're running around and looking, and it was Caleb and Hannah, you know. And they were just outside around, you know. But even at church, we're at the point to where you have to constantly keep your eyes on your children.
Just think in the days of Christ, you know, he's 12 years old. He disappears. Yeah. It's 3 days before they get back to where they left him. And there he is preaching in the synagogue or, you know, teaching in the synagogue. But, I mean, that's the way it used to be in this country, you know, is, hey, they're with the neighbor kids. They're with friends. They're with family. They're, you know.
Well, see, it used to be that this nation, when God's law was followed, and not the law of the jungle, but when God's law was followed as the law of the land, as Christ put it, the two greatest commandments, love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbors yourself. And on that rests everything else. Because if you love your neighbor as yourself, you're going to love your neighbor's children as yourself. And you're going to keep an eye out for them, and you're certainly not going to harm them. And that was the law of the land at one time in this nation. And because that is no longer the law of the land in this nation, then we do have the murder, the crime, the crimes against children that are just so rampant that our enemies are just continuing to manifest and to you know, bring forth, you know, and that's, you know, you can look at, you know, pedophilia is the next step on this antichrist left-wing homosexual agenda. You'll see it. We've talked about it before, but that's what they want next. You know, the other peoples, the peoples in Asia, the peoples in India, the people in the Middle East, that's part of their culture. You know, for them to go have a 10 or 12-year-old, that's part of their culture. It's an ungodly culture. It's a satanic culture. But that's what, you know, it's the Bible story all over again. We've sinned, we've turned, and as a people, our society is just embracing all these other nations and all these other ways and all these other false gods and all this other filth. And that is one of the things that our enemies are pushing and promoting. And, you know, that may be the breaking point, what you said earlier, Kyle. You know, we try to live peaceably among men much as possible. But there comes a time. In the Bible, it talked, there came a time when the captor said, well, we'll live peacefully with you. We'll just cut off your thumb, you know, and that was so that they couldn't wield a sword against them. Or we'll pluck out your eye or whatever it is. And, you know, that was when King Saul originally rose up. But who knows what's coming? But we are
there's
to be ready
for peace, it. And there's a time for war. There's time for everything under the sun.
Amen.
And, you know, we got to, you know, everybody wants to be a godly man. You know, I mean, well, not everybody, unfortunately, but a lot of people want to be godly men, but they don't want to be godly. You got to obey God's word and God's commandments to be godly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They think being godly is being this little wimp that doesn't do anything ever. You know, that just loves everybody or at least ignores everybody.
Right.
That's not godly. God isn't a god of ignoring things.
Yeah, or of passiveness, of just sitting back and letting everything happen and not doing anything about it. Well, there is a time for all things right now.
Time to go to the phones?
Time to go to the phones. Hey, good morning. Thanks for calling into Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yes, this is Edie from North Carolina.
Good morning, Edie.
Good morning. I've got some stuff that's heavy on my mind, and I wanted to just put it out there and everybody make of it what they will. But all this Kennedy stuff this week, and I've got to say I myself was suckered in just like everybody else. But he is the hero that was not. It was a satanic ritual murder. that was done to him. They were sacrificing their own. He was a goddess-worshipping Catholic. During his time in office, that's when the prayer and the Bible were removed from school. That's when integration was forced. And this, you know, he'd been made a hero. We were all in a, what it's called, a drone, some kind of video drone that Michael Hoffman talked about, that this whole nation was part of that ritual murder. And we have had all these thoughts and visions and things placed in our head, and since that time we've had nothing but school murders and mass shootings and, you know, all these mass murders. I mean, it's like the gates of hell have been opened upon America.
Good point.
Yeah, excellent.
And it's just, you know, it's like, if you just get out, I got out my old 1984 World Book Encyclopedia and started rereading about John Kennedy. And I advise everybody, if you've got an old encyclopedia, to do the same thing. And with the eyes that our pastor has given to his flock, you see everything that was written about this man to supposedly build him up is nothing but things that tore this nation down.
I agree.
Yes, agree. Yeah. You know,
and he was a playboy. Nobody ever brings that up, you know. He's hanging out with Marilyn Monroe, who was what?
Just a whore from
just
Hollywood.
Just a whore back. Open up your eyes, people, and see. You know, we all know what Martin Luther King Jr. was. He was a womanizer, fornicating adult. You know, and we put that out there all the time. John F. Kennedy was a playboy. I mean, it was so obvious to just anybody who would open up their eyes and see. If we had a friend that hung out with who he hung out with, we would have to get away from them, mm-hmm. because it would lead us into temptation, because that's just how it works, you know. And all this stuff that Edie brought up is awesome stuff.
And it was no different then than it is now. The your average Joe American doesn't make it into the presidency. You know, they're controlled now just like they were controlled then. And I like what you said also, Edie, about, you know, we have to have the eyes to see. Our pastor taught that. You know, that we have to have the eyes of biblical understanding to see what's going on. If you just look at what the world puts out and you try to see it just with the world's eyes, then, you know, LBJ shot him, or the Cubans, or it was a plot for this, or, you know, there's all these different things that the world puts out, and they put enough out there. The pastor addresses it in his Double-Minded People pamphlet. You know, they'll put the left hand out and the right hand out, and then it just, you know, it just it brings everybody to a non-understanding. But that's the way the world works. But if we can look at it with biblical eyes, with a biblical understanding, then you see that very thing. You see that, like you said, Kyle, he was a womanizer. He was just a playboy. He was, you know, he was no more righteous than any of them have been. Probably since Andrew Jackson, anyway. I think Andrew Jackson was a righteous president and paid the price for that several times. But they aren't. And you're right. It's, you know, they and how did they, you know, present it based on history? It was the end of Camelot. You know, Camelot.
Yeah,
the time
of
King Arthur.
They slew the king of Camelot.
Yeah.
In a ritual murder.
Yeah. Yeah. So
one of the things also I was reading in the encyclopedia was that in May of, I don't know, 62, he gave a speech. The stock market had just dropped the lowest it had since 1929. And he gave a speech that month, and he said there were three great myths in our domestic affairs that prevent effective action. And these are the three things that he said were myths. He said that the federal debt is too large. He said that was a myth. He said that the federal government is too big. He said that was a myth. And he also said that business cannot place confidence in his administration. And he said that was a myth. I think that's very telling and revealing in itself, you know, getting into usury and having Baal or Mammon rule over us rather than God rule over us.
Good point.
He was trying to be God.
Yeah, good point. And then also, like you said, he was a Catholic. You know? He didn't worship Jesus Christ any more than anybody, but he's built up as a hero of the nation. You know, almost as much as Martin Luther King Jr., but not quite. Almost, though, but not quite. So, well, Edie, thanks so much for calling and sharing that. We sure appreciate it.
All right, y'all have a great day.
Certainly current. Thank you.
Good night.
Boy, they are cramming that JFK stuff down the people's throat right now.
Yep.
Was it 50 years away?
That's why. Yeah, 50-year anniversary. And so. Well, the phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. Saw a news bit this month. Aaron from up in Canada sent this to us this week. It says, the tennis shoe titan, Nike, has started a new PAC, Political Action Committee, to support gay marriage in Oregon.
Well, that don't surprise me.
Yeah, and they're really pushing it. They're out in Salem, Oregon. And even though Oregon, I guess, had, it said in 2004, the state constitution was re-voted on and defined marriage as a union between one man and one woman, 57% of those in Oregon voted in favor of that. And in 2008, they did approve domestic partnerships for homosexual couples, but that wasn't enough. And so last month, state officials announced that Oregon would recognize same-sex, quote, marriages performed in other states.
They're just like, they're like the little brother to California. Whatever California does, they're just a few years behind. You know, and it's sickening.
So basically, Nike says... now it's called Nike Equality PAC. Nike Equality Political Action Committee. And so they got about $500,000 that they've thrown in there to help, you know, further this agenda. See, you have to spend money and push and promote things that are not natural. If it, you know, marriage, the union of one man and one woman.
Yeah, you don't have to
promote that. It's natural.
Yeah.
You know, but what these antichrists have to do is they have to spend their money to promote what is unnatural. Yeah. It's really as simple as that. So, you Nike fans out there, just do it. Just boycott them. Just do it. When you buy Nike, you're supporting the homosexual agenda. You're supporting the antichrists by their actions.
Oh, absolutely. But the problem with that is Adidas probably do it. New Balance probably does. I mean, that's the problem is,
do what you can.
Boycott right. Who you can. Yeah.
Yeah, do what you can. So let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hi, Timmy from Maine.
Hey, good morning, Timmy.
Concerning Jack Kennedy, the Kennedys actually got their fortune thanks to Sam Bronfman. If it weren't for the Bronfman families, the Kennedys would have been nobody. Now, they did descend from Irish royalty. And because of the because they made their money and helped implement Prohibition, that whole family has been cursed.
Yeah, they haven't.
Kennedy, the Illuminati took JFK out because he tried to be his own man, and they didn't want competing royalties. Two and a half years of JFK were a mixed bag. And one, I talked with another Christian a few years back. He told me that somebody, I think it was a Baptist pastor, witnessed to JFK the night before he died. I don't know the truth of that story. And this, the American people are just stupid and decadent. Look at the leaders we've elected over the years, mostly Democrats and some socialist Republicans. I mean, we've elected just vile leaders.
Well, the leaders...
Both parties and both chambers.
Tim, what it is the leadership of a nation reflects the character of a nation, is really what it is. And so,
it does.
And you're right. We have become, as a nation of decadent people, sinning... proudful, haughty. God puts, he'll put up with it, and he has put up with it for a while. you know. But there's coming a day, and that day draws near every day. God is not mocked. You know, he allows it, but also he allows his prophet, he allows his people to hear the truth and to be able to choose one way or the other. They see, they live this life of sin and wanton pleasure, like Pinocchio on Pleasure Island. They don't realize that they've just become, you know, beasts of burden and jackasses, basically. Goyim, as the Antichrist calls us. But God is patient. He gives them a way out. But it's the choice that the people have, you know. And that's one of the reasons these broadcasts go out, is that Tim, you're absolutely right. The leadership we've had in this nation have been nothing but sinful, ungodly men and, unfortunately, women. That's all that they've been. But that just reflects the character.
William Jackson was one of
them. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it just reflects evil, yeah. It reflects the character of this nation. And until the people want to change, it'll be that way.
They're double-minded. They're spellcast. Tea Party movement's defective. These people complain about high taxes and big government, but want to hold on to their communist gods. This country isn't going under socialism. It's already been under socialism since about 1930, when Herbert Hoover actually implemented it.
Yeah, it's been a long process. When you remove God, yes. It doesn't stay in a vacuum. That's for sure. That's for sure.
And they've raised up idols. I mean, they think they're going to put prayer in the public school. It's like putting prayer in the Hooters or cleaning a toilet and using that for a mixing bowl for.
Yeah,
mixed flour. It's utterly stupid. These bales have to come down. There's too many bales in this country. The hospital, the school, the military, the Boy Scouts. I mean, it's just really a collectivized nation on so many fronts. And it's been a long, slow process.
Good point.
LBJ, I mean, was a vile man, just like Clinton, Obama, Truman, FDR, Wilson. And
yeah.
Reagan was no conservative. Reagan allowed pedophilia right in the White House. He covered it up. Bushes are equally vile. Both of them. Reprehensible.
Yep. Well, Tim, appreciate the call this morning.
Thanks.
Appreciate you sharing that with us.
Thanks.
Hey, thank you. Have a great weekend. Yeah, just recently I saw, who was it, Oprah? Was it Oprah and Bill Clinton? They got the Congressional Medal of Freedom or something like that, you know?
I don't know.
You know, it was just, what, 3 weeks ago that Clinton was saying, you know, if Obama said that your health care, you could keep it, then you should be able to keep it. You know, that it sure seemed like some strife that they were against each other. And
good cop, bad cop.
That's right. But that's how it came out,
yeah.
You know? And so, you know, 2 or 3 weeks later, you'll hear more of that, and now he's getting the Congressional Medal of Freedom. So.
He'll be saying vote for Hillary.
That's right. That's right. You know, they all will be.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, they all. It's a.
Are you going to vote for Hillary, Jason?
Negatory.
Are you sure?
You know, there's, you know, I like what, you know, we were talking about a while ago. You know, you do kind of have to pick your battles. You can't fight them all. Uh-uh. You really can't. It's tough. But what we can do is we can strive to be like Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in Babylon. You know, when push comes to shove, there's a line that everybody has their line. Some people's line is, well, you can't even see their line. You know, but we need to have a line in the sand like they had. No, that's it. You know, I'm not. Daniel opened up his windows. Oh, you're going to tell me I can't pray for 30 days? I'm going to open up my windows, go out on the balcony. I'm going to let everybody in the city see me. Because I'm a godly man. I mean, we have to do that. You know, whatever it is, whatever it is your rub, or whatever it is that you can do, do it. You know, and whatever it is you can't do, I'll let Richard do what he can do, and he better let me do what I can. I mean, that's
sure.
How we should be. But the thing that we can't be is nothing.
Right.
We just can't be nothing. You know, we can't go out and do things. that we would like to do, but there is things we can do, you know, and we can make stands. We cannot let a homosexual service in a restaurant if they're so openly gay, you know it is.
Right.
I mean, there's things we – now, somebody else might not want to fight that battle, but that's a battle I want to fight, you know. I mean, there's things we can do, you know, and it might be nothing to – you know, to compare to Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego,
right.
But at least we can do something. You know,
yeah.
I mean, if you want to be a godly man, do godly things.
Right.
If you want to be an ungodly man, do ungodly things. It's just that simple.
Right. And that works both ways. If you do godly things, then by your works you're a godly man. If you're doing ungodly things, doesn't matter what you call yourself, but if you're doing ungodly things, if you're practicing the deeds of unrighteousness, you're certainly not a godly man, but an ungodly man.
And if you hate sin, that's godly.
Amen.
God hated sin.
Yeah.
You know?
You know what a lot of people's problem is you know, they can't get up and turn the TV off when there's something on there that they shouldn't be watching.
Right.
That's,
you know,
true.
They'll watch it anyway. They make excuses about it in their house. You know, how are you going to fight against sin if you can't even fight the sin in your own life?
Yeah. Yeah, and one of those things is the, well, the commandment that says for you not to take the Lord's name in vain. It goes
yep.
on in every show that I've ever seen, you know. That's the one thing that makes me click off faster than anything just about is, because you can't say Jesus Christ in a prayer, but you can curse him all day long in the schools
and
on
do.
TV and everywhere else.
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
Yeah. Yep, that's agreed. You know, go ahead, Jason.
Well, it just, and like we were talking earlier, in order to have these things in society, you've got to have a moral people.
Yeah.
You know, but if people aren't taught any morals, and don't live any moral lives, how do you expect anything else to, you know, how do you expect to be able to leave your door unlocked? How do you expect to have, you know, when you got people that don't have any integrity, when they just assume lie to you is tell you the truth, you know, with the thievery and, you know, everything just goes on. You know, that's why, you know, it's a sin problem. That's why you can't leave your doors unlocked when you leave your house, or when you go into a restaurant or at a grocery store or something, you have to lock your car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking about that this morning. I went out about 15 minutes before I was ready to leave, started my... I mean, it's one thing for you to do it, Richard, because you
kind of
live...
That. You know, and I did that,
You
yeah.
live out, you know, where there ain't houses right next to you, but,
right.
you know, I'm out there, I start the car, and I know it's, you know, 6 a.m. or whatever, and there's not too many people up, but I'm thinking, of, as you know, as I'm upstairs brushing my teeth, well, I wonder if anybody's drove off in my car yet.
Yeah, because you're in town, right. And
I remember running into a guy down here 2 years ago, and... he came in there. He's like, somebody just stole my truck.
Oh,
and I'm
no.
like, oh, really? When that happened? He's like, no, they just stole it. He's like, I left it running in the gas station parking lot. And he came in, and somebody got in there and drove it off.
Yeah. There was a, you know, I talked a little bit on Thursday night about this knockout game. And because it when you said that, Jason, it I wanted to go to how it was reported in Denver. I think Channel 7 News down in Denver had a little report on it, and I printed it out. But this knockout game, you know, it's been going on for several years, and it's basically when you have a gang of black youths are driving around or walking around, and they just pick one person out. And the whole thing is for them to go up and hit the person one time, at least. Sometimes they beat the snot out of them. Sometimes they come and try to knock them out. It's called the knockout
game.
With
one pinch.
Yeah, or... pick them out, knock them out was another one. And I talked about it on, I think, a review of the news earlier in the year. But it's been going on. Of course, it's not reported on the mainstream news. And you don't hear the president saying, well, yeah, that little black boy that knocked the 60-year-old woman out, he could have been my son. You don't hear that kind of BS from the president. But it's been going on. And basically, it is black-on-white crime. It's not reported. And so, you know, if you live in the cities, if you're out walking around, whatever it is, be aware. And that's the same word basically as beware. But be aware. Don't be asleep, sheep. Saw one here, I think maybe it was Ralph that sent this in to me after yesterday morning after the Thursday night program. Said, knockout game turns deadly. 60-year-old woman shoots and kills two teens after being punched. And it was a whole gang came up to her. And somebody, you know, punched her. And she said, hey, I work for my money. I'm not giving it up. She pulls her gun out and just starts firing. Kills two of them. Puts, I think, another one in the hospital. And all I could feel was pain. I said to myself, I'd made it to 60, and I wanted to at least see 61, she said. I started praying, and I asked the Lord to guide my hands as she reached into her purse and shot into the direction of the teens as they started to flee. However, two of them didn't make it without being hit.
Obviously, so, the Lord guided her hands.
And I don't, you don't see that. This was on some alternative media that I've never heard of. But I checked it, and it seems to be valid. But it's, you know... You don't hear that on, you know. Now, there's a deal, you know.
See,
a
now
good
that's an uplifting story.
Absolutely.
Like the puppy that gets saved from the water. I mean that yeah. should be on every news station.
Yeah, you know? But, you know, they're not going to put good news out. You want good news, go to the Bible. You want the bad news, go to the media. But the knockout game was reported in Denver, and I wanted to what you mentioned, Jason, about the person stealing the truck. So it goes through. At the end of it, it talks all about these where people have been killed and, you know, this and that. It says, juvenile delinquency experts say a good punishment for these teens would be empathy training, such as volunteering at a homeless shelter.
Yeah, that would be really good for
that's
them.
How they wanna, yeah. That's how they
want to... Then they could rob...
They need empathy training.
Rob everything
is what they
there.
Need. Yeah, they need empathy training is what they need. They don't need to, you know...
I bet you if a few more of them got shot like that, I bet you maybe they'd think, take it a little more seriously playing the game.
Yeah.
It says, you've got
that's
some...
That's what they need. They need to broadcast that on the television.
Oh, absolutely. Right. They need to put
that's
that
right.
out on every channel.
That's right. And then when they're meeting in their gangs, hey, yo, blood, let's come. We're going to go knock somebody out. And they all said, no, man. You know, last time, Leroy, he got shot.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's do something else.
And they should read that quote.
Let's go fishing or something.
Yeah, let's go fishing.
And they should read that prayer and say, you know, everybody should, you know, who can carry should carry, and they should pray that the Lord will guide their hands. And,
absolutely.
You know,
absolutely. This Denver this Denver report here says, Conley, who is 32 and works with teenagers in her job, said the blow knocked her head to the side and bloodied her nose. I don't know what the goal was, she said. There wasn't any attempt to take anything from me. While some of those attacked have been white, and some suspected attackers black, experts said the incidents are more about preying on the seemingly helpless than race or religion. No, 99% of them have been black on white crime. But the experts say it's just about, it has nothing to do with race or religion. It's about preying on the helpless.
Do you think people believe that, though?
Yeah, I do, Kyle. I think that when the majority of people in Denver that read this, they go,
well, I think the blacks want to believe it. But I still think every white person that walks down an alleyway in Denver would rather walk by a white person than a black person because they know that black person might play knockout with them or whatever.
I hope so. I hope they know
that. Rape with them or whatever it is, you know.
I hope they know that. But again, the experts say that, you know, these misguided youths just need empathy training. Well, guys, the phone lines are lighting up like a Christmas tree over here. I guess I better pay a little closer attention to it, so... Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, man.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey there. This is Kevin in Ohio.
Good morning, Kevin.
I wanted to bring up two quick subjects, but you struck a nerve that has really hit me hard. I was in the NOM, and I had a greeting there the first week I was in NOM up in the north part of country, Chulai. I've been in country about... roughly less than a week, and I was all prepared. I was a grunt medic. I was all outfitted, ready to go on go out to the mountains on my first mission from the rear. And I mean, that would put me out for good then. But I took a walk on the beachhead that was called the rear in Chulai, and the next thing I knew, I woke up in the evacuation hospital. I've been knocked out. I've been rolled and left for dead by three niggers. Now, ain't that sweet?
Yeah. Now, these were these were three blacks that were in the military with you.
Oh, absolutely. When there's nobody else that's an American there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. In a war.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so I woke up and I had more knots on my head than a porcupine. And that was my greeting. And then I found out last year, I talked to a guy from my unit, two guys from my unit. One guy was black. I'm sitting there talking to him, and he told me he saw one guy right just not far from there, a white guy beaten and killed. Now, that was beating.
Yeah.
Boy, you hit that nerve. I saw a race riot down at Fort Hood before I went to the NOM. And you talk about ugly. Now, here, you know, what are you doing? You're a troop. You're for the country. You're for, you know, taking care of this place and what's happening to you while you're there. You're 17, 18. But I want to get off. I want to bring a subject about 25 miles from here in eastern Ohio just a couple weeks ago, roughly. City of New Concord was forced to take down a picture of the Good Shepherd. Did you see that anywhere in the news?
Was that the picture that had been in the school for years?
Yeah.
Yeah, from the very beginning? Yeah.
In 1971, it was put up there in remembrance of a teacher that had taught there for 50 years. So she must have been born somewhere, you know, back about 1900 or so. And she'd been teaching probably the Good Book all that time in her life. And so when she passed away, they put up that in remembrance of her, and this queer in the school protested it, and just in a matter of a week or two, they took it down. They didn't stand and fight. They wouldn't refuse to take it down. And nobody I can talk to will say, yes, they should have just held their ground. They should have left it up there, closed the building down.
Yep.
But my further thought on this is, why are they in those government indoctrination centers anyway? Pull your children out.
Amen.
Amen. And then there's another subject I want to bring up quickly, is the thing about what they call bullying. You know, they had I drove through this town of Coshocton, Ohio, I think it was last year, and in the elementary school, all over the windows and the boards on the signs outside said, stop bullying, stop the bullying. And there was this movement last year, you know, everybody was identified as a bully. It was a young man, a man with a set. That, you know, he would go out in the yard probably and fight the other guys. He might have been the coward. He might have been, you know, the no good. But I think I could replace that word that they've misused, because the Webster's 1828 does say it's normally a coward, a boisterous, you know, worthless, more
right.
or less, person. But they've switched the word, and I think you could replace the word that they were using in their terminology, bullying, with the word man, you know, stop the man, because Proverbs tells you, iron sharpens iron, and we need that growing up period as men. Don't you? When you look back on your life, you know, if there was a bully, he's gone, he's dead, he's worthless now, but it sharpens us. It has this natural process that we gain.
Mm-hmm.
Like Pastor Peter said when he was challenged in what was it, wrestling. Somebody thought he would, you know, take him down right away, but he scared the hell out of him before the guy could even get away with it, and he won, right?
Yeah.
And so these things have all, you know, it's against men and white men. That's what it's about.
It is. It is. Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Well, Kevin, I appreciate it. We got one more caller here, and we lost one on, so we'll try to grab them on before we run out of time. But thanks for calling, and thanks for sharing that with us.
God bless you.
Thank you. And we'll go to this one other caller. Caller, thanks for holding. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah, I'm calling you back because you were talking about this knockout thing. Now, that's been popping up on the morning news programs, national newspapers coming out of New York, just this past week. And
yes.
I found on a website that I look at just yesterday, it was put up, or maybe yesterday, I think, about the reason for that is that they have started doing that little act in Crown Heights section of Brooklyn, which is, you know who lives there.
The Jews live there. That's what. And
yes.
Jason and I talked about it earlier, and I had Al out on the ministry sent me a note along that same lines, I think, on Friday morning, and said, you're starting to hear it in the media because the black gangs have attacked Jews and knocked them out. And I'm not afraid to say it, and this ministry's not afraid
what
to say it.
What area of New York is that?
In
Crown Heights,
Crown
section
Heights.
Of Brooklyn.
Yeah,
and here's a, I read you a quote from this article. It says, State Assembly, Assemblyman Dove, D-O-V, Hikind, H-I-K-I-N-D, Democrat from Brooklyn, has written to President Barack Obama and U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder, urging federal action against knockout games.
Yeah.
And
man, the ADL and the ACLU ain't going to know what side to be on.
They're not. They're not.
No. And
the news article that I got here in front of me that I was going to bring up next was Brooklyn Rabbi, quote, gang of teens playing disturbing game of knockout the Jew. And that's when it's interesting because that's exactly when it did start getting a little bit of coverage.
Exactly.
Yeah.
New York, CBS New York, the NYPD is looking into a series of attacks on Jews in Brooklyn. At least one attack was caught on surveillance tape. Some of the assaults may be part of a disturbing game. CBS 2's John Slatterly reported on Tuesday. Police have yet to connect the incidents, but released surveillance video that shows one group attacking a Jewish man. The video shows from a few different angles the victim, a man in a hooded jacket, getting punched. Now, it's interesting because one of the things that I've noticed in looking at all these blackout news articles is they talk about the group attacking. You know, if it was a white person, they put in white person.
Absolutely.
But, it's pretty obvious when it's blacks because they always leave that.
Because you don't hear white.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's like that in the news media.
You can see it on the surveillance video.
You can.
And just fine. But for the reader, they don't put it in print. They will not put it in writing.
No, and that's one way you can tell, and hopefully that helps open the eyes of the remnant, is that if it were a white gang that were picking on blacks, oh my gosh, you'd have troops in the street and Jackson and Sharpton and everybody out there just, demanding. And the only reason the major news medias are picking it up, like Channel 7 in Denver, and the one caller that you said that you see on the local news or here, is because now the Jews are getting attacked. And now that's news there. When it's just the old white guy, I mean, don't worry about him. Let's talk about football. But now that the Jews are being attacked, who run the media, now it's newsworthy.
And it goes on to say in this article, it says that Assemblyman Jim Tedesco, Republican Schenectady, said Thursday that his bill would make the violent crime game a gang assault with a sentence of up to 25 years.
But it's not a race.
Would be.
Right, but it's not a hate crime. I hate to interrupt you. It's a gang crime. But it's not a hate crime because black on white crime is not a hate crime. We have to remember
that's
that.
Right. And they've got a picture in here of this Dove Hikind, apparently. In one of his holidays, he dressed up in blackface with a Afro wig. I'll send this guy to you if you'd like to see it. You have a link?
Yeah.
Website I can send?
You can, and we'll put this out. We try to put news articles like this on our network website, sfawbn.com. So if you'll email that to Jason, I can give that email out, right? Jason@sfaw.org. Jason, J-A-S-O-N, at sfaw.org. You can forward it to that, and we'll do our best to get it up on the newswire.
Okay, well, thanks a lot.
Hey, thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just amazing, the double standard that's out there. And the people don't see it, you know. And, Kyle, I think I'd take you to task on that, the people in Denver. I think they're more than happy. I think so many of them are more than happy to just walk there beside them. They think that they're cultured when they
and then they're dip. Laying and then they're laying then, in the side of the gutter,
right? Yeah, absolutely,
like the guy on the beach.
That's how stupid they are.
Yeah, you're
but
right.
I think that they do. They think they're cultured. Oh, I'm not racist like that person, and that. But that's how stupid the sheep were.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee.
There's more of a double standard than what even mentioned here with this. You know, you brought out the fact that they're not telling you that it's black youth doing this. But look at the other thing that they just showed you with what they were writing about this rabbi complaining about these youth beating a black guy, beating Jewish people, that they're preying on Jewish people. Well, that's a double standard right there, too, because would you ever see the media saying, gangs of black youth are preying on white people?
No. Or
they don't report that they're preying primarily on white people. No, it's just a knockout game. And there again is a double, they're playing another mind game with you because it's not a game. It's not a knockout game. Let's just say what it is. It's black youth beating the hell out of white people.
Yeah, it's violence. It's violence.
It's just a good excuse to go pick on white people.
That's
and
right.
And crap out of them and the media will call it a game.
Yeah. You're right. Good, very good point.
But if it was white people doing that to blacks, that wouldn't be no game, would it? No, that would be a hate crime.
Right. Good point. Game versus, I might use that. I got to write that down. Game versus hate crime. Yeah, now there's granted, there's whites that have killed blacks, and they get charged them with hate crimes. Missouri just executed one, I think, this week, from back in the 90s or something like that. And and that happens. There's no doubt about that. But the majority of it, there's a lot more knockout games than there is white on black crime. There's no doubt about that. So I might use that, a game that's a game versus hate crime. See, it's a game when they do it. When we do it, it's a hate crime. Good point.
With that rabbi specifically pointing out that it was Jewish people that were being victimized. But would you ever see the media have the set to say it's white people being victimized?
No, or Christians. You'll never hear him say, no. Christians are being attacked by the Obama administration. No, you don't hear that at all. Or, Christians are being attacked by the Supreme Court as they continue to rule for homosexuality and against having God and the Bible and prayer in school. No, you don't hear that at all because there's a double standard. Hey, thanks for pointing that out.
Okay.
Thank you.
I had to laugh about something I heard this last week, which is almost just showing the extreme idiocy of this whole thing with this bullying.
Uh-huh.
There was a woman who had some blog spot or some video on YouTube or something. She had been pretty heavy. She lost a lot of weight, and she had made this video of like a before and after, and said, "If I did it, you can." Well, they're saying that's bullying. Because her losing weight and looking better is now making all these other women feel bad.
Yeah.
That should be removed because it's bullying.
How about that?
You can't show any superiority or any betterness of any sort now without it being now twisted around to being bullying. And the woman wasn't even doing it to make other people feel bad. She just lost weight and then made a video to show you can do it too, and here's how.
Good point.
Yeah.
Jeez. Anyway, we'll let you guys go. Have a good one.
Thanks.
Bye.
This all started with tipping cows, I think.
Oh, man. Oh.
What a world.
Yeah. Well, before we run out of time, we do want to, we've only got a couple minutes left, we do want to invite you to church tomorrow. We gather on Sunday mornings at the LaPorte Church of Christ. For Sunday morning church service. I think tomorrow we'll probably have a scriptural insight and study by you, Kyle. And it'll be interesting to see what that is. I always enjoy those. And very biblical and very informative. So we're looking forward to that. And so if you'll join us at 10 a.m. Mountain Time tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast, you can come to church with us at the LaPorte Church of Christ. Just go to your computer and to our website, scripturesforamerica.org. And on the left side of your screen at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning, click on the live video stream. And then it's going to ask you, what are you looking at? Are you or looking with? Are you on a computer? Are you want to use Windows Media, Flash? Are you on your iPod? If you're on your iPod or your iPhone, you can watch as well. So you don't have to be at home on your computer. If you have service, you can watch it right on your iPhone. And we do that sometimes. And so join us at 10 a.m. Again, you'll probably start out with a scriptural insight and study from Kyle, and then you'll get to see John the Ramrod. He'll have a welcome and I'm sure some good Bible scriptures for us. And then we'll have Shananiah there with some songs. I think he's got a new song for tomorrow. So tune in for that, and we'll see how that goes. And we'll have a communion service and then a Holy Spirit-inspired message by Pastor Peters. So that's the invite. We hope that you can take the time out of your busy week, out of gathering straw and making bricks and doing all the things that we all have to do throughout the week. You know, give a couple hours to God. Take at least a couple hours out of that 7-day-a-week grind as it is anymore. And, you know, join in fellowship with others. We are to do that. As, you know, Hebrews 10:23, a couple verses here that we'll go out with. It says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." So, assemble with us tomorrow. We think that if you'll do that, you'll be encouraged. You'll be hopefully stimulated to love and to good deeds. And it'll be a bit of good news in the bad news of the world. How about that?
Yeah.
And I'm not going to ask Jason what we have for a sermon tomorrow, because he's not going to tell us.
No, so that's part of the intrigue of
that's
it.
That's right. Yeah. He keeps it secret for all of us. And so that's a good thing. And Jason, we sure appreciate your work in putting all these together and so that they're ready to go tomorrow. And so, well, we're going to go out with this song. Our address, Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, stay high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more, stay high.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
Snake-eyed.
Moving, 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 though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake-eyed. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake-eyed. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting at the end of our ride.